Good morning. It's great to see each one of you. Please open your scriptures to Luke chapter 15. We have several in our church family who have had surgery or are homesick, and we continue to pray for healing. Some of us are being hit hard with allergies. That's not really healing. That's just endurance, right? And I got a phone call from my mom this past week, and they endured in Western North Carolina the effects of Helene, and they're safe, thankfully. In the small town that I was saved in when I was 21 years old, they say is basically a war zone. And Hendersonville and Asheville and those entire areas around have been hurt really bad. So thankful to hear from my parents, and praise God for them. Luke chapter 15. Let's look at verse 1, and this will be a shorter sermon in preparation for the Lord's Supper, and then one of our elders, John Tonello, will lead us in that, and we're just going to devotionally look at two lost things of the three, and then next week we will, Lord willing, give major attention to the third lost thing, which is a son, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he, Jesus, told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. Verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Verse 32, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Have you ever lost something? Have you ever lost something you valued? Perhaps a favorite stuffed animal as a child. You can still remember losing that thing that you loved. When Micah was only about 1.5 to 2 years old, he lost his favorite blanket on the international flight back from Zambia to come stateside for furlough. And he was very attached to that blanket. And we went to a visiting church once, and they had that same exact blanket. It was a Noah's Ark blanket pinned to the nursery wall. And he melted. He cried. He was screaming. And he had lost something of great value. Now, I should have just asked the church for the blanket, or I should have set aside my convictions and just stole the blanket, right, off the church nursery wall. I do hope you know I'm joking. But he lost something he loved dearly. Perhaps you lost a pet, distressed, wondering if you would ever find your cuddly little animal again. Perhaps you've lost someone you love dearly, either through death or relational strain, or distance that begins to erode a relationship. Perhaps you've lost a child's heart, or perhaps you've lost a close relationship with a parent. Luke 15 is all about lostness. And what Jesus is doing is he turns to the Pharisees and he tries to make lostness personal to them. It's exactly what Luke 19, verse 10 says. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the what? The lost. We are the lost sheep. We're the lost coin. And we are both the prodigal son that strayed, and we're also the proud older brother that stays at home and disrespects the father. Look at verse 2. This group called the Pharisees hurl an insult at Jesus. They grumbled, verse 2, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now remember again who the Pharisees are. They were a religious group, powerful, influential. They were not always the bad guys, especially during the intertestamental period between Malachi 4:6 and Luke 1:1. Those are the two scriptural land bridges. They believed in one God. They believed the scriptures. They believed in prophecy. They were excellent interpreters of the law. Jesus even says they sit in Moses' seat. If you wanted to know what the law meant, you would go listen to the Pharisees. They were looking for the Messiah. They observed the law meticulously. They were conservative. Sounds like us, doesn't it? And of all people, they knew the character of tax collectors and sinners. And they didn't like the fact that they were all drawing near to him. Look at verse 1. Because they thought if Jesus was holy and a religious teacher, what would he do with the sinners? What would he do with the tax collectors? He would repel them. He would hang the law over them like they were doing. And their accusation is actually true, because Jesus was receiving sinners. What they meant to be a sort of a accusation against his character was actually a true statement. The sinners were those who probably had a reputation for it, like the woman at the well. The tax collectors are those who often through dishonesty would make a living on tariffs and tolls and customs. Matter of fact, it was the Pharisee who prayed in the temple, and he lumped together the tax collectors with the immoral and the adulterers. Three lost objects. Look at verse 3. Jesus tells them a parable, singular, that ties all three images together. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son are all really one story and one object lesson. Lostness is personal. If you were born in Iran, there is good reason to believe that apart from God's grace intervening, you would be a Muslim. If you were born in India, you would probably be a Hindu or a Sikh or a Jain. Just like if you were born in Kathmandu, Nepal, you would be a Hindu. But if you were up in the Himalayas, you would be a Buddhist. You would be lost. A man loses one of his 100 sheep. He leaves them in safety, and what does he do? He goes and he seeks for it. And he finds it, and the nature of sheep is to what? If you're lost and you're out in the wilderness with wolves, you hunker down and you're not going to move. And the beautiful picture here is he takes that sheep and he puts it up on his shoulders and he walks it back to safety. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I don't know if you've noticed, but the new kind of woke word for murder or suicide is to unlive someone. That's kind of a soft, subtle euphemism. But I'm going to borrow it to say this. You cannot unlost yourself. If you're lost, there is no hope for you until someone who loves you, seeks you, and finds you. Romans 3:10, none is righteous, verse 10. No, not one. No one understands. Now listen to this. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Later on in that same chapter, it says this, that all have sinned They've fallen short of God's glory. And that's the predicament we are in, and it's made worse by the fact that none of us is seeking help. We are lost. So what does God do? A holy God has come down, a good shepherd has come down to seek you and to save you. Look at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? See, they would know how many sheep they owned because they would count them. Jeremiah 33:13, it says this, in the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, in the cities of the Negeb, in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, that's a lot of names, but now listen to this part, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Sean talked about God's love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That son is a good shepherd. That son came to this earth to seek you. He came to this earth to save you. Isaiah 40:10-11, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. If you recall back to Luke chapter 7, there was a Pharisee who had invited Jesus over for a meal. And while they're eating, do you remember this? A woman walks in. She's crying. She anoints Jesus' feet with her tears. She begins to wipe them. And the Pharisee, again, just like he does here in Luke chapter 15, comes to three different conclusions. Number one, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman, and it says she was a sinful woman. He would know who she was. Well, the good news is this. He did know who she was. He also assumed that if Jesus knew that she was a sinner, he would not let her do what? Touch him. And since Jesus does let her to continue to touch him, Simon concludes that Jesus is not to be regarded as a prophet. And then do you remember what Jesus did? He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he talks about two debtors. And there was one who was forgiven an incredible amount. And he asks the Pharisee this question, who do you suppose will love more? And he says, I suppose the one who has been forgiven more. But Simon didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And in verse 39 of Luke 7, it says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Here's the beautiful picture in Luke 7 and in Luke 15. Jesus truly is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. If you were to give yourself an accurate description of your weaknesses, of your failures, of the worst moment in your life, how would you describe yourself? And then know this, Jesus does not pull away from you, he moves towards you because he seeks and saves the lost. Look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 15. He moves from sheep to a coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Here you have this exhaustive search, this light coming into the world looking for something of value. And I want you to think about a lost sheep and a lost coin being found. And consider what Jesus did to save us. Look at let me read Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone what? Astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have wandered out into the wilderness, and the Lord has laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. When Jesus looks at the crowds, he says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When we lift the emblems of bread and juice to our lips, we are supposed to remember something. We are supposed to remember his death until he comes. That the good shepherd came as a sheep and gave himself as a sacrifice for us all. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, if you think about a coin, it says this in two places, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, you were bought with a price, do not become bondservants of men. And so here is the invitation as we get ready to observe the Lord's Supper. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Good Shepherd came. He paid the ultimate price for you. And in 1 Timothy 2:6, it says, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And then finally, Revelation 5:9, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.